Welcome to Stackatech, the PEI Public Library Services podcast on books, culture, and everything related to the world of libraries. In this episode, Crystal and I got together to talk about library community surveys and the Community Volunteer Income Tax Program, both of which are running until the end of April. We're also joined by four wonderful library staff members who are sharing book recommendations from their recent reads. As always, please check out the podcast notes for more information and links to any resources mentioned in the episode. The Stackatech podcast is recorded and produced on Epiquet, the ancestral land of the Mi'kmaq. During the months of March and April, the PEI Public Library Services are conducting some community surveys across Prince of Rhode Island. And with me here, I have Crystal Dion, who you should know by now is the Adult Services Librarian at the Charlottetown Library Learning Center. And we're just going to chat a little bit about the community surveys and find out more about them and why you should complete them. So, Crystal, could you tell us a little bit more about the community surveys? You know, what are they and why are we doing them?
Sure. So the community survey is sort of a series of questions aimed at library users as well as non-library users for us to try to get a sense of who's using the library and why, and who's not using the library and why, and how we could potentially bridge that gap a little better.
What kinds of things are we hoping to learn from the survey?
Yeah, so we're hoping to learn sort of, you know, the different demographics that are accessing our programs and services more in specific communities, and in particular, the demographics that aren't accessing the programs and services. So perhaps there's a way for us to adjust what's being offered at specific libraries to better meet the needs of that specific community. And yeah, we're also hoping to learn, you know, what we've been doing well so far, what people are accessing. But definitely we also want to hear things that might be missing or things that can be improved upon just to fill in any potential gaps that we aren't aware of. So really just wanting to hear feedback from Islanders so that we can sort of enhance the library experience for people.
Who should fill out a survey?
We're really hoping that people all across the board will fill out the survey. So we want to hear from library users. We want to hear from non-users. We want to hear from lapsed users or, you know, future users. So we really want to hear from a wide variety of Islanders just to get a broad scope of how we can improve and what we've been doing well so far.
So how do folks fill out a survey?
Yeah, so the survey is accessible online, so via our website. You can link directly to it there. We do have the survey available in English and French. If for whatever reason you have trouble accessing the survey from home via the internet, you are welcome to visit any of our library branches that's closest to you, and our staff there will be more than happy to get you set up on one of our computers so that you are also able to fill out the survey. Also, if you stay tuned to our social media channels or check in with branch staff, we are going to be having a few sort of pop-up visits to some local malls in the Charlottetown and Summerside area, where we'll have staff on hand with iPads ready to help folks go through the survey in person. So, yeah, stay tuned to see where we're going to be. We're going to have a few of those happen in the next month. And just to let you know, the survey is completely anonymous and it only takes about 5 to 10 minutes to fill out. So we're really hoping that we do hear from a lot of different folks. So yeah, here with Alicia McDonald, the regional librarian for the Eastern Region for the PEI Public Library Service. And we're going to chat a little bit about the CVIT program, or the Community Volunteer Income Tax Program, that the Library Service is participating in again this year. Alicia, can you just tell us a bit about what this program is?
Yeah, for sure. So the Community Volunteer Income Tax Program is a collaboration between the Canada Revenue Agency and community organizations. And so basically various organizations like libraries host tax clinics and arrange for volunteers to prepare tax returns for individuals who have a modest income and a simple tax situation. So we basically help facilitate tax returns for folks who may not have access to other options, and they can bring their information into us, and we
collect all of the information for them, and we then have volunteers that come pick up their tax returns, complete them, and bring them back. So library staff don't actually do the tax returns ourselves. We just help kind of facilitate that connection between the public and the volunteers who are willing to do those returns for them.
That's, yeah, it's a wonderful program, and I'm so glad that we're involved again this year. Where can folks access this? I know it's not happening at all of our library branches, but can you mention a few spots where it's taking place?
Yeah, so we have locations across the island, everywhere from, you know, Alberton and Tignish in the west, Summerside, Charlottetown, Montague, St. Peter's, Morrell, Mount Stuart. Yeah, so we tried to cover, you know, as many places as we could and offer folks options that were as much as possible. Most of our branches are offering drop-off services, so you can kind of come in during open hours and drop your information off with the completed forms. Charlottetown is offering some in-person tax clinics, and those are occurring on Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. So that's a time where you can kind of come in and meet with the volunteer who's doing the taxes for you. So if anyone has any questions, that might be a better option for them. But for the most part, yeah, you can just kind of contact your local branch and see if they're participating, or to find the name of a branch that is participating near you and reach out, and we can help get everything all set up. And we will also include the list of branches that are participating in the podcast notes as well.
And sorry, Alicia, I will just mention, since I happen to work at the Charlottetown branch, that we're also offering that in-person service on Thursday evenings from 6:30 to 8 p.m. throughout the rest of March and April. So there's sort of two options. I do suggest that folks get here early on those Thursdays and Saturdays, because we often do have lots of people here waiting. So the volunteers are only here until 8 o'clock on Thursdays and 3 on Saturdays. So you don't want to get here too close to the end, or you might not have a chance to speak with them.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It can be quite busy. And so folks coming, being prepared for the meetings and even for doing the drop-off services, having all of your information together and being prepared to fill out the forms with minimal assistance if possible, will definitely make it a smoother experience for folks.
Mm-hmm. And you definitely need to have your photo ID, and folks need to come in person. So you can't bring in the tax information for someone else, because there is a form that needs to be signed even at the drop-off locations.
Yes, that is correct. The only exception to that is if someone has power of attorney and has proof of that, but then they would also have to have their photo ID, et cetera, to do that. So yes, make sure folks bring their photo ID and all of the information they need for their taxes.
Alicia, I know you mentioned sort of that this program is intended for folks with a modest income as well as a simple tax situation. So maybe could you just sort of touch on what the simple tax situation means?
Yeah, so a simple tax situation is, you know, for most folks who have the one income, they've got one T4 slip, very basic deductions, and have all of the receipts, nothing very complicated. Unfortunately, we're not able to offer services for folks that have a more complex situation. So folks who are self-employed or who have reported capital gains or losses. So if you sold your primary residence in the last year, unfortunately, that's not something that the volunteers are equipped to help with. Or anyone who reports employment expenses or business rental income expenses. Basically, it just has to be a very simple return with minimal complicating factors. And anyone that is coming in should definitely make sure they have all of their receipts and information forms with them, because that will make it much easier for the volunteers to do everything and make sure you get the most accurate return completed for you.
Awesome. Good to know. Well, I think over the past year or so that we've been working on the podcast together, this is the first time that we chatted together, I think, maybe. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to actually, you know, chat with each other instead of just introducing the segments.
Exactly.
And editing. So no, it was wonderful. So yeah, we're really excited about the survey and the tax program, and looking forward to, you know, kind of being able to reach more folks and being able to connect them with some of the different services that we offer across the island.
Up next, we're joined by Beth, Chloe, Haley, and Sarah, four amazing library staff members who will be sharing book recommendations.
My name is Beth Clinton. I'm a regional librarian with PEI Public Library Service, and I work out of the beautiful Charlottetown Library Learning Center. The book I'm talking about is called Murder Your Employer, The McMaster's Guide to Homicide by Rupert Holmes, and it's volume one, so there's a little bit of excitement there that there may be a volume two. And the publication date was 2023, and of course it is a fiction book, even though you may think you're getting yourself into a nice how-to guide, it is fiction. The PEI Public Library Service has it as an ebook and an e-audiobook only, so I did get it through Libby, and I read it on my iPad, super convenient when I'm riding on the bus to just have my iPad with me to read. So it was well loved that way to keep me busy. It's very interesting. It is about a fantasy type school in a totally hidden location. None of the folks who go there have any idea even where in the world it is. And it teaches people how to delete their nemesis. And by delete, they mean murder, although they don't like to use that word. So they do prefer delete and deletist rather than murderer. Basically, you have to be sure it's a very ethical type of murder only. They have 4 points you have to consider. Is this murder necessary? Have you given your target every last chance to redeem themselves? What innocent person might suffer by your actions? And will this deletion improve the lives of others? So if you can say yes to those, you can go ahead with the school and create your thesis, by which it means you will create an elaborate plan, hugely elaborate plan, amazingly elaborate, gloriously elaborate plan to murder your nemesis who matches these 4 things. So, and actually to finish your thesis, you have to go through with the plan. And if you don't go through with the plan, it doesn't turn out well for you. So the book itself is the storyline of 3 different students. So it's told from various viewpoints, one of whom has basically a boss who has ruined their life and caused various other awful things to happen. Another one is a movie actress who's been sort of railroaded into just B-movie parts by her producer. And the third one is another person who is being, another woman who is being tormented by her employer. There's a very 1950s vibe, so there's no cell phones, there's no DNA and everything, which makes it much easier to create these hugely complicated plans. And it's just a lot of fun to read. And I understand the audiobook is read by Neil Patrick Harris, so I may have to try that next. I do have a fondness for dark humor, and of course, as you can tell from the title and description, this is definitely dark, dark humor. I do like the differing viewpoints. It was fun. I just love the idea of this hidden school. It had a bit of a Harry Potter, Hogwarts sort of vibe going on, but also a bit of illicit, like, mercenary school. It was just very interesting, not quite like anything I'd read before, so that's why I really liked it. I think if you enjoy both historical fiction and true crime, this would be like a super amazing book for you. Or just, as I said, anybody who likes that black humor, that dark part. I mean, if you usually read light, fluffy books, probably not your cup of tea, although there are some really fun, funny, quirky bits. If I could only use one word to describe this book, I would cheat and use 2, and I would say quirky and charming. This is actually an amazing book to pick a song to go with it, because I will tell you, one of the things that intrigued me about this book is Rupert Holmes, the author, is the man who wrote and performed the escape song, also known as the Pina Colada song. So that's who the author is, but I actually wouldn't pick that song. The song I would pick was his 1971 sort of infamous hit, which was actually sung by a different group, but he wrote it, called Timothy, which is about a group of men trapped in a mine, and they turn to cannibalism, which is sort of a subtext. They don't come out and say it, but 3 miners go in and 2 miners come out, and it's called Timothy. So poor Timothy didn't quite make it out, and that was kind of 1971. That was like an infamous come-from-behind sort of hit. So that would be the one that sort of matches the tone of this book. So if I had to give this book a different title, it would be a super fun book by the guy who wrote Timothy about cannibalistic miners and the Pina Colada song.
So, hi, my name is Chloe, and I work at the Charlottetown Library. The book I'm going to talk about today is The Other Valley by Scott Alexander Howard. It was published in February of this year. And, yeah, it's speculative fiction. It's a science fiction, dystopian type vibes. Like, it's pretty good. So, this book is about a valley. So, this valley is pretty special, though, because it is bordered by another valley to the east. And that valley to the east of it is the same valley, but it's 20 years in the future. And then it actually is bordered by another valley to the west, and that valley is the same valley, but 20 years in the past. So it's kind of like a weird timey-wimey type situation. And basically it tells this like story about a girl Her name is Odile, and it just talks about her experience kind of living in the Center Valley with these two other realities living on either side of her. And I don't want to get too much into it, but that's basically the premise, and because it is speculative fiction, so it is kind of like the plot is light. It's plot light. It's more about the idea than the actual plot of what's going on in the book itself. So, yeah. What I really loved about this book actually was the fact that it's not something I usually read. Like, I prefer to read lots of, like, romantic-y, like, book talk, classic, spicy books. It's not what I'm usually into, and I was kind of drawn to that. And I kind of felt, as I was reading it, it felt like an instant classic. Like, you know how, like, Margaret Atwood is, like, classic? Or, like, it felt like one of those really, like, poignant, like, pieces of literature, and I was like, man, I actually enjoyed that. It wasn't assigned to me to read at school or whatever, and I, like, was really into it. So that's kind of why. Readability, I guess, is what I really liked about it. The person I would recommend this book to, or the group of readers that I think would enjoy this the most, lovers of speculative fiction, you kind of have to, like, be into the genre, kind of, to, like, want to read. Like, you have to actively search this out. So I feel like lovers of Kazuo Ishiguro, he wrote a book called Never Let Me Go, and I found, like, the vibes are, like, very similar in that book and this book. And I would say that I kind of recommend this book to, like, older people. I'm, like, 30, so I would recommend this to, like, the 30 plus crowd, mostly because the themes that happen throughout the book are very tied with regret and, like, choices and looking back on your life and kind of, like, what leads you to the point of, you know, your life, right? Like, and I feel like young people maybe don't have as many regrets as my 30-year-old self. Like, 20-year-old Chloe, like, maybe wouldn't understand, this wouldn't hit with her as much as, like, it does with me now. It was more kind of, like, important to me now than it would have been. I am going to tell you that there are no quotation marks in this book. No quotation marks to, like, denote dialogue, nothing. It's just kind of stream of consciousness. Like, people are talking, but you're kind of, like, if you're not paying attention, you're, like, in the middle of a sentence, and you're like, oh, okay, that was spoken. Like, it's dialogue. The author, Scott Alexander Howard, he's, like, a smart boy. He's got, like, a PhD. He's Canadian. This is his debut book, but, like, he's learned, if you will. So, like, there are some, like, artistic choices in this book. It might not be for everybody. So, yeah, if I had to pick a song to go with this book, I would choose The View Between Villages by Noah Kahan, just because of the nature of this book being about a valley with another valley on the other side, and that time travel-y-ness, this song fits so well. If I had to give this book a different title, I chose Forward Back, because it's just kind of, it just felt right, you know, like the other valley, you're kind of, like, moving through time, forward, backwards. Felt right. Felt good.
All right, so my name's Haley, and I am based out of Summerside's Rotary Library. I am going to be talking about Amy Schneider's book, In the Form of a Question. It came out on October 3rd, 2023. If the name sounds familiar, it's because Amy has the most wins out of any woman on Jeopardy. So I followed her journey. I think she had, like, a 43-game streak. So as soon as I saw that she was going to be publishing this book, I'm like, oh, I got to read that. That's going to be interesting. So that's what I chose. It is a nonfiction book. It's really interesting how she did it. So it's In the Form of a Question, the title. And every chapter is actually divided by a question. So she kind of goes into, like, one chapter is about her transition. So she transitioned later in life. She was in her late 30s. So that chapter was dedicated to her journey of transitioning. She obviously talks a lot about, like, Jeopardy in a lot of the chapters. But the really interesting thing about this book is it really opens up the conversation into transitioning, for sure, in later years. She talks a lot about, you know, the state of she's originally from the Midwest, Ohio, to be specific. So she talks a lot about, you know, being a transgender woman in Ohio and, you know, how she's perceived. So I really thought that it was going to be interesting from that perspective. And she definitely had a lot of interesting points to bring up. What I loved most about this book, I really like reading anything by LGBTQ plus authors. I think that the collection nowadays that the library has is so vast when it comes to queer literature. And again, Amy Schneider, whenever I saw she was going to be writing this book, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. What I really liked about this book, though, was that in each chapter, she actually included footnotes. And it's not like, you know, like when you think of footnotes, you think of like university papers and, you know, works cited. But the really cool thing about the book is the footnotes are all like side stories. So she could be talking about, you know, her time whenever she was in the Boy Scouts as a young child, and she could have a little blurb down in the footnotes, you know, I was running around, I got stung by a bee. She has ADHD, and as someone who is also ADHD, it's really, really interesting to kind of see her jump around, but to be able to follow it too, you know, through the footnotes. She could be talking about, you know, one topic and then jump from another one aimlessly. So it was really interesting. And the book definitely kept me going because you were kind of constantly going and reading all the little footnotes along the way. So that was probably my favorite part of the book was reading all the little footnotes that she had. I think this is a book for anyone. I think anyone, you know, that's grown up around a TV set, they can hear the Jeopardy in their head. You know, it's a famous tune. I think anyone would really like this book. Again, I picked it because I followed Amy's journey on Jeopardy. I also thought it would be a really interesting read because she is a transgender woman. So I think that her story definitely appealed to me. I was very interested in hearing, you know, her story growing up in the Midwest and especially transitioning later in life. I think it could be good for anyone interested. You know, if they're not very knowledgeable on trans folks, I think that they could definitely learn a lot on this book for sure. But again, I think this is a book for anyone that just, you know, wants to learn something. Amy definitely strives to push the message that, you know, you can learn something every day. So I think this book is perfect for anyone that is willing to learn. If I had to pick a song to go with this book, oh, I have to pick the Jeopardy song. I think I have to. I have no other choice.
My name is Sarah Bernath. I work at the Dr. Edmond, J. Edmond Arsenault Library, which is one of the three French libraries here on PEI. The book I want to talk about is Fane by Anne-Marie MacDonald, and it was published in October 2022. It's a work of fiction, so it's a novel, and the genre, I would say, is historical fiction meets magical realism, and it's got a few touches of Gothic fiction and some Dickensian twists and turns. I listened to the book, so I got an audio book version of it, and we do have that in Overdrive. If you look Overdrive or Libby, if you check on the library website, you can download a copy. And I can't recommend the audio book enough. It was so wonderful to listen to. It's narrated by the author, Anne-Marie MacDonald, and she has a background in theater, so she does an excellent job of doing all the voices. There's many different characters. They all have Scottish accents, but she's really wonderful at it, and she really, really brings the story to life. The book is set in Scotland in the 19th century, and it tells a story of a young woman named Charlotte Bell. She's the only daughter of Lord Henry Bell, and it starts out with her childhood. She is living at the estate. It's called Fane, and the estate is situated in Scotland. It's been in the Bell family for centuries. She's a extremely curious, extremely intelligent girl, but she does suffer from a mysterious condition, which is never named, we do discover later on what it is. So nevertheless, she wants to be educated, just like a boy would be. So her father, he's very kind. He gets her a tutor, and that tutor accidentally discovers a secret, and that secret kind of turns Charlotte's world upside down. And so she needs to then use her knowledge, her passion, her intellect, her sense of adventure to get to the bottom of these family secrets and to the heart of her own identity. What I loved about it, I loved how immersive it was. I think partly that was the audiobook experience, but the novel itself, like even if you read a paper copy, it's so descriptive. The author does such a good job of describing the estate of Thane, this big old house, the Scottish moors. You really can picture yourself there. I also really loved the time period, the way she integrates some Scottish folklore. And then I love the plot twists. You know, it just keeps the story going, keeps it exciting. Really enjoyable read. So if I had to pick a song to go with this book, I would pick either something by Enya, you know, her Celtic-influenced songs, or I really like the song Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush, and I think that would really fit the mood of this novel. If I had to give this book a different title, I think I would call it Bridget's Child. And so that is, when you read it, you will find out what I'm talking about. So Bridget's Child would be a good alternate title. The reader who would most enjoy this book, I think the obvious reader is perhaps someone who likes historical fiction, but because it's not a straight up historical novel, I think it would appeal to many different types of reader. So if you like page turners, for example, I think Thane is for you. Let's say you read Jane Eyre in high school and loved it. I think Thane is for you. If you're a big fan of Victorian fiction, if you love fairy tales, and also if you have a lot of time on your hands, because it is a long novel. It's about 700, 800 pages. So all these things, Thane is for you.
Stack Attack is a production of the PEI Public Library Service, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Many thanks to our guests, Beth, Chloe, Haley, and Sarah, for taking the time to share their book recommendations. And remember, links to all of the resources mentioned in this episode can be found in the podcast notes section. And as always, we want to hear from you. Share your recent reads or visits to our branches with us on any of our social media platforms. And don't forget to check out our library website, library.pe.ca, for the most up-to-date information on library programs and services. Thank you for listening.